That's the spirit.
Hello, come in, Peter Lane, are you there?
I am here, yes indeed.
Are you sounding well, Peter? You're sounding like you've got a spring in your step.
That's right. It feels like spring, even though it's in fact autumn.
I know, it's so warm. It's crazy how warm it is out there, being May.
Yes, that's now, right. Oh. I've just been cycling around in short sleeves.
Yeah. Oh, cycling.
Yep.
E-bike or just classic?
E-bike, I'm afraid.
Okay. Yes, oh, no. Don't be afraid that it's an e-bike. It's a good way to get around. Yes. Where have you been going? Where have you been riding, Peter? Tell me more.
Oh, just anything over 2 kilometres, I'm e-biking these days.
Yes, nice. Yep. Nice. Now, hey, what are we chatting about this evening?
We're going to chat about the secret of the confessional. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I thought this was a great topic is that underlying a lot of the disputes about churches and the way they treat sexual victims lies the claim that there's some kind of protection for confessions and for forgiveness provided by the church that means that the state and state sanctions should not be involved. It's a pretty crucial subject.
Is this, I mean, obviously there's the child abuse aspect, but I'm just thinking of kind of a Sopranos or Ozark situation where you're confessing that you've murdered someone to a priest.
Precisely. And it's not just child sex.
Yeah, that's right.
Does it actually happen?
Yeah. People confess that stuff to a priest and it doesn't go any further?
You bet.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Because within the Catholic tradition, the sense of guilt is a very, very powerful sense. You know, it's been instilled into kids when they're very young. And so to remove the guilt, you will confess it to a priest knowing perfectly well that the priest is forbidden by the most fundamental laws of the church from reporting it to anybody else, not even another priest.
I haven't been in that situation before, either as a churchgoer or having to confess something of that magnitude. Do you think that, I feel like you carry it your entire life. Does confessing that, I mean, have you ever spoken to someone who's confessed to a murder and said confessing to a Catholic priest took a burden off my shoulders?
Yes, actually, I have.
Okay.
Spoken to somebody who's done some pretty serious wrongdoing,
mm-hmm.
and whose conscience was eased by dealing it with a priest, and that's, I'm trying to recall the circumstances that they felt indignant when, in fact, they were hauled before the state. I think they regard them as two separate things.
Okay. I mean, it must weigh on the priest. How does a priest reconcile these things?
Remember that in the traditional, have you ever seen a Catholic confessional, the old style ones, where there's a grating?
Yes.
Is all that they can see
in a movie or two.
It's mostly in movies that you see this, but sometimes in old Catholic churches they're lying rather dusty sitting at the back corners of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the intention of those, and they were introduced in the 16th century, was that there would be no sense in which you felt you were dealing with a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
You were dealing with the sin, and the sinner was dealing with their sin. And the confessional was something appointed by God, and that it was in the priest's power to absolve the person from guilt before God and judgment by God, if they confessed and did the due penance that was required of them.
Mm-hmm. Doing a confession, does the priest respond to the person making their confession? Surely they would recognise their voice if they attend the same church.
Of course, in these days, that would probably be the case. But remember that you're talking of, especially in anonymous places, and nobody prescribes you have to go to the priest in your own village. So you might well go somewhere else where you wouldn't be known. And specifically, the priest was not allowed to show any signs of recognition of the person. And indeed, if the person came back and, you know, they were a repeat offender, you weren't even allowed to acknowledge that you'd heard this before. So in recent years, confessionals in the Western world have been replaced by what are they called? Rooms of reconciliation rooms. And the intention is that you do, in fact, sit in front of a real person. But the rules still apply, and nobody is supposed to be able to hear the confession. It must feel a little bit more confronting, though.
Well, I mean, what's the point of sitting in front of a real person? Is that just to kind of deter the person from doing the crime in the first place, because they know that they have to face up to a person in real life if they
No, it's slightly more than that. The priest, through their ordination, has the direct power to absolve people from sins, and they would go back and cite the statements made to Peter in the Gospels and to the Apostles, that if you say someone's sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. So it claimed that this is an authority given to the church and the people who are authorized by the church to issue the absolution. And so it's a pretty powerful sense of the church's own identity that's at stake with the issue. And so for Catholic believers, supposing you are taken before a court and treated for it, sure, that deals with the consequences in human terms of your crime, but it doesn't deal with the sin, which needs to have the absolution from a priest. And so the words "I absolve you" are, you know, absolutely critical to the power of the priest. So the priest has the powers to turn the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, or the priest has the power to absolve sins, and on the deathbed has the power to prepare a person for the afterlife. So these are really significant authority.
I mean, where are we at in the modern world? Is it still, are we still in a position where the priest has to maintain absolute secrecy, or is there an element of they need to report this crime?
Well, by laws in most countries now, there is a compulsion for any person who knows of particular crimes to report them, and especially when in child sex abuse and the like, there's a mandatory reporting function, and that just goes flat in the face of what has been confirmed as recently as 2015, where the Pope said, and this is Pope Francis, said, "I can't remove the power, the secrecy of the confessional, because it is fundamental to what the confessional is." And the only way out that he offered, and this has been recognized for a few years now, is that really a priest ought to say to the person, "You need to take this to the police," or even, "Would you like me to come with you and help you to report it to the police?" But that's as far as they're allowed to go. They cannot take decisions of their own mandate, which means that the priest sits in risk of blatantly breaking the law themselves, because they're faced with a real contradiction between human law and divine law as they see it. And a lot of Catholic bishops have pleaded with the Vatican, "You've got to change this. You're putting us in an impossible situation." But from the point of view of the Vatican's regulations, that it can't be removed without destroying the nature of confession, because the nature of confession is solely between you and God, with the priest speaking as the representative of God.
I feel that it could potentially also put the priest in danger if they're saying, "Look, we could potentially go and see the police together, but if someone's just confessing to, like, clubbing someone over the head with a spade and burying them, and the priest is suggesting that they go to the police," who's next on the list?
Yes, well, true. And there's an Alfred Hitchcock movie, I think, I've not seen it, but I just read about it, in which the priest, by not telling the police about it, ends up becoming the primary suspect in the crime. And you can see how this the priest gets implicated by virtue of stepping into the role. So it's a very, very tricky water. But, you know, while most Protestant churches have said you can't have you must breach this rule, and that's true with secular councils. Although secular councils were very uneasy about that when they were told they had to report things. It's a messy area, and I do wonder whether, in a way, what these megachurch pastors are doing is it's kind of a version of the old secret of the confessional, because they're saying, we'll deal with that. It's nothing to do with the state. And they kind of excuse themselves because they have the authority of God behind them.
Someone has just said on the text machine headline, and pile of shite hiding behind religion, the confessional should be removed completely. And someone else has said 1994 movie Priest with Robert Carlyle, very good on this topic and dilemma.
Oh, I saw that movie. That's right.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think for sure that the whole notion that the priest becomes the only representative of God with this power to forgive, that's a mighty pressure to put on the priest, because how can the priest know that there is true penitence for what's being done anyway? You know, I mean, real penitence will go to the police, I would have thought. And so there's lots of questions that many people ask about this, and good religious people have the same questions. But, you know, this has been so for 1,500 years. It's not going to shift very easily. And it's going to leave Catholic priests increasingly subject to suspicion.
Yes. Peter Lynham, thank you very much for this week's edition of That's the Spirit. We'll check in with you next week, mate.
Look forward to it. Very good.
Bye.